Andrew Schneider on KNIA KRLS Radio, joined by Chris Cuellar. He's the Executive Communications Director for the Iowa High School Athletic Association. And doing a check-in, we do so often. We see each other often at state tournaments, but catching up on the air for the first time in a few months. And Chris, some really big news coming out of the association, I think, that has a big impact, not just on our local schools in Marion, Warren, and Jasper counties, but across the state. Let's start with the most recent and one that I know got a lot of our town talking, in part because we go to the tournament very often. The boys basketball state tournament starting in 2027, we'll be going to a place that I know you and I personally enjoy because of our own connections. Hilton Coliseum will be the home of the state tournament moving forward. First of all, let our listeners know how this really came to be and what it means to have a marquee kind of a venue, and plus the things surrounding that in Ames for the tournament moving forward.
Andrew, always good to talk to you. Yeah, sometimes there's just more news than others, and it turns out that over the last couple of weeks, we've had maybe some of our biggest headlines we've had in a few years. Whether or not you care about basketball, this move ended up being extraordinarily large, not just because it is picking up the tournament and changing it, but the IHSAA, you know, state basketball tournament has been in Des Moines since 1963, every year at Vets or Wells Fargo Arena. And so then starting in 2027, what we announced last week was the tournament was moving to Hilton Coliseum and Iowa State University. There was a combination that ends up making this look a lot simpler than I think the feedback has been over the last week. You know, the majority of feedback has been very positive. But the formula for getting the tournament to Hilton was pretty simple, Andrew. We felt like the tournament needed some juice. Attendance has been on the decline. Interest has been on the decline. You know, we had discussed with a number of advisory committees in our board what some of those adjustments might look like, whether that was a schedule change or a format change or, you know, a different quantity of teams or even, you know, a different quantity of classes, which I know the girls' union has. And ultimately, we were trying to figure out what else might add some pop. As that is occurring, Iowa State University is upgrading facilities, adding to Hilton Coliseum, and for anyone who is you know, just now paying attention or wondering what is around Hilton Coliseum or in Ames, Iowa, constructing SciTown, a multi-use district with hotel, food and beverage, apartments, suites, all basically attached and in between Jack Trice Stadium and Hilton Coliseum. So they were looking for an event. They were looking for, you know, a way to bring people to town, to campus, to SciTown. And we were looking for a tournament jolt. And it just so happens that, you know, basketball is looking up at Iowa State University, and it is a fantastic facility. And they were interested in having us, and we were interested in what that move might look like. So that's how you got the announcement last week. And it was big news, but it's also very exciting. And we, you know, we still have to go through another couple of years here before we figure out what that looks like.
Well, and I think, you know, a lot of the questions we had was, you know, ultimately the why. And I think you explained a big part of that. And in part, I know that you've had a lot less stability in your baseball and some of your other tournaments. This is not going to be a short term move. This is meant to be long term. And it's an environment that, you know, again, I'm very selfish as a person who worked in Hilton Coliseum for 2 years. An environment that is very conducive to basketball. Not that Wells Fargo was a bad space, but this is maybe a step up in terms of the environment.
Absolutely. If anybody paid attention to some of the media hits that my boss, Executive Director Tom Keating, did last week, we have nothing negative to say about Iowa Event Center. It's a great facility. It easily hosts the quantity of teams that we bring in and the quantity of fans and folks that end up coming through. And we will still be there for both, not only next year, but for state wrestling. We're still in Des Moines for track and field and soccer. Ultimately, this was about what's the best way we can serve this tournament and give it the shot in the arm that we think it needs. You know, attendance was up at this year's state tournament, but we think a different basketball first venue will be able to, you know, help deliver some of that juice that we're looking for.
Here with Chris Cuellar, he's the communications director at the Iowa High School Athletic Association. So the other big announcement recently, we actually had a chance to talk about it this fall, was the media rights fully moving under the umbrella of the association, which the girls' union has enjoyed for many years and people are very quick to talk about. Well, a part of that move does move the championship broadcast to a very familiar place, and we'll talk about some clarifying pieces in a second. But first and foremost, the association will have their full rights after baseball this year, and championships will be able to be seen in every corner of the state.
we're very excited to be able to partner with Iowa PBS. There's a little bit of cognitive dissonance there with how long IHSAA was with or has been with PBS, and the truth is, nothing has appeared on PBS from the Athletic Association in over 20 years, and that was wrestling. Football has not appeared on PBS in 40 years, and at that point, it had only appeared twice. Basketball, our tournament, boys' state basketball tournament, the finals have never appeared on PBS. Now, for the first time in 25, 26, PBS will produce and broadcast the finals for football, then wrestling, then basketball for us. So it's three of our most watched sports over 4 days, and it will be on statewide Iowa PBS, available over the TV in all 99 counties, and then online through Iowa PBS platforms and on our website.
And the clarifying piece I wanted to bring up, because I know it was probably the most commented piece, was A, I think some excitement, but B, well, what about the rest of the championship sports and what about the rest of championship week? And I know the pieces aren't 100% in place, but the idea is that it will not be behind any kind of paywall after this summer. There will be free broadcasts. The exact details aren't quite ironed out yet, or are they?
They are not quite, because we are still in the process of getting our production companies lined up for what everything is going to look like. We do not have all of our sports in the same cities or venues, and so we're trying to coordinate what that is. What I can tell spectators who are interested is that almost all of our sports that are currently televised will be available at least via live stream through our website and our YouTube page. That is the plan. So basketball quarterfinals, basketball semifinals, baseball, soccer, all those things that people are used to watching, you know, on different platforms, wherever the Iowa High School Sports Network, you know, put it over the last few years, we will have it on our website and on our YouTube page. So that as we can make that happen. Wrestling is going to be a little bit different deal because of Flow Wrestling and the fact that they exist and the high quality production that they can provide from every single mat. That, as a broadcast production, is at a completely different scale than anything we do. But everything else that is currently televised, so I think it's 7 sports, will be free, and you know, at least through our website and YouTube page.
Well, and for those who don't know, even the lead-up events for sub-state and for district tournaments, the vast majority of those, Chris, have been linked to your website, whether it's been produced through schools or not. So this is a continuing step in the direction the association's been taking, especially since the media rights have been acquired fully.
Yeah, I appreciate you pointing that out, because we did have to take some steps over the last few years to, you know, provide proof of concept. Not only prove that we could do it and that our website could handle it, but that there was interest there. And we know that there's interest there. You know, we've been making steps in this direction as possible. Now we're finally getting to, you know, show what those are. I know everybody wants all the answers all at once. But, you know, I could talk for hours about, you know, some of the specifics of the productions and broadcast capabilities across the way, but we've got the PBS plan, and then those things that you're used to watching, you know, on different TV channels and via a separate live stream, we will have them via live stream on our website and our YouTube page.
Here with Chris Cuellar, Communications Director at the Iowa High School Athletic Association, as we talk, some of the big news items, those are probably the top two most recent, but of course, the other thing that happens every 2 years that I know gets people talking is football scheduling. And for those who don't know, the Iowa High School Athletic Association schedules exactly one sport in terms of the regular season. Everything else is done by 80s and conferences, and football is the one sport. A couple years ago, there was a significant change in terms of how enrollment plays out. I think we saw that even more so with some of our local schools impacted, like Norwalk, heading into Class 5A, probably in large part because of that change. But first and foremost, football schedule's coming out soon, but the districts have been rolled out.
Correct. So classifications came first a few weeks ago, then districts, and then we expect football schedules to come out, you know, last week of March, first week of April. So very soon, depending on when you're listening to this. It is quite a process putting those together, not only with the formula and getting the classifications right, because, you know, there's enrollment data and then the formula that all has to go through the Department of Education. Then we reveal them to the schools. Then they, you know, sometimes have some issues or want to find some different cooperative sharing agreements, and that changes how everything looks. Then our football administrator, Jared Cheesick, spends literal days in our map room trying to put together what districts might look like. like make them, you know, as different as they can be from past years. Sometimes that's inevitable. Sometimes it's, you know, almost an impossible task, but that's a whole labor of love. And then we allow schools to still submit priority lists. So those non-district games that, you know, we aren't going to absolutely put on the schedule, schools can select their top seven choices for who they would want for those non-district football games. Jared does his darndest to schedule all of them, and then you have to put it all into a giant thing. So we got 330 schools, we got their districts, we got their priority lists, and then you got to schedule them all home and away across 8 or 9 weeks. So it is quite a process. We still do it all in-house, you know, fortunately we're almost at the end of it.
Well, yeah, and like I said, that's coming out soon, and as I alluded to, it seems like there has been maybe more noticeable impact. There certainly was when we rolled out the five classes, and now certainly has now on top of that with the classification change in the sense of free and reduced lunch having a percentage of impact on your total enrollment. It feels like this year we saw some pretty big changes. Again, Norwalk, who we cover locally, moved up to class 5A. I think if you look at the straight beds numbers, I'm not sure they would be quite there, but we're starting to see that impact now. I guess what from the association perspective, the rule doing what it's intended to do to try and create some of that competitive balance?
Yeah, absolutely, Andrew. I mean, I think the biggest issue with the football scheduling is providing that bit of information, or classifications, providing that bit of information so that people who may not know can easily understand what is a complicated formula and setup, but then also making sure that it makes sense and does what it needs to do. And so I think the first time around doing it, I think people who are very plugged in like yourself and maybe other folks in the media or football coaches might have been like, well, that's not that much change. And what is it trying to accomplish? And are we getting there? And I think your point is well taken, which is that I think you saw a more significant shift this cycle. So this is the second cycle of football scheduling with that classification formula. And I believe that it is doing what it was supposed to do. Talk to us in, you know, 5-10 years. And I know that's not a sexy answer, but for whatever the goal might be, depending on your perspective, I think it is able to offer that a greater competitive balance, a greater competitive programming. And, you know, we're going to keep grappling with those issues, especially at the rural and then urban levels.
Here with Chris Cuellar, Communications Director at the Iowa High School Athletic Association. Let's talk immediate term. We're heading into spring, as many people, I think, have noticed, certainly with some of the weather we've had lately. Although if you're in Northwest Iowa, I guess you've had some blizzards in between. But we are getting our spring practices are all rolled out now. One of the maybe bigger changes does deal with soccer and the fact that there will not be any overtime now in the regular season. What were some of the driving factors behind that and what that will ultimately look like? We'll see draws, I think, on the record for the first time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, in 15 years or so, draws are back on the books. Great question, Andrew. I'm excited to talk soccer rules. The goal was that to determine whether we needed that extra goal and that extra playing time. Our soccer administrator, Todd Tharp, is also our chairperson on the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee, which we share with the Girls Union and Iowa Athletic Trainers Association, Iowa Medical Society, a handful of other folks. And the goal was to, you know, limit the amount of time and impact that we're putting on some of those student athletes out there, especially in soccer, which is an incredibly demanding physically sport. With the fact that a handful of schools and programs were still participating in multi-game tournaments over weekends, and, you know, what was that extra period golden goal or, you know, shootout providing, ultimately with our, you know, rankings process and seeding process, which in soccer, we've adjusted it like we have a handful of other sports last few years. We don't necessarily need to know who those winners are. And we don't need our athletes playing another 20 minutes in a shootout just to determine, you know, whether that's a, you know, quote unquote win or loss or, you know, shootout win or whatever you want it to be. So overtime is back. the draw is back. So if you're not a soccer fan, maybe not the most glamorous thing ever, but I think it'll definitely help shape what our soccer season looks like.
And then postseason won't change. Obviously, we need to have a winner.
Correct. We need a winner to advance. So that's when your overtime rules bump back in. But we also are able to offer a few days in between games once the postseason begins.
And to clarify for our listeners, that'll be both boys and girls soccer. There will be draws moving forward. And then lastly, we're heading into that spring part of the season. I know that for you and I, the season goes past the school year. So really just past the halfway point of our academic year. But spring is here. Obviously, golf and tennis and track and field also up and running. Anything folks need to know about those sports heading into the teeth of those events starting? And obviously the very busy postseason that awaits at the end of May.
The thing that folks will notice once we get to the postseason is they're going to look at the dates and be like, is this correct? And I'm sure you've done that too, Andrew. but because of the rollback in the calendar, it will look as if all the postseason is starting later than it typically has. So we are going to go into June with over half these championships, which is definitely going to be funky, but should still be good. And, hopefully we get some good weather for the competition and the busy time that we've got, in late May and early June for all of those championships.
Well, and I guess the other thing to note, too, is people look at their baseball schedules. There has been a pretty significant change in scheduling, that there's a limit to dates. There's a lot more doubleheaders I've seen for the schools that we cover. But things to think about after spring season, I'm sure.
Yes. And baseball is already sort of up and running with the time that teams are allowed to meet for pitching and catching. So it all coalesces here at once, which our athletic directors across the state can all attest to.
It'll be a very busy and very fast-moving time between now and when I see you at Drake Stadium in 7 short weeks. It's Chris Cuellar, the Communications Director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association. Chris, always appreciate your insight. Thanks for clarifying some of those big news items. I know a lot of people are excited about the tournament being in Ames, including this Cyclone grad included, and looking forward to all the other big changes that are happening in between. And like I said, next time I see you in person, we'll either be in Ames during the Drake Relays. We'll see if I end up making that meeting. If not, for sure at the Blue Oval. Thanks for joining us.
That sounds great. I'm hoping I don't have any major releases to drop on you before then.